keep your trust circle small. And I talk about this a lot too, about a mastermind group. And it's really biblical to have your mastermind group and have people who are like-minded, if they're Christian, if they believe, if they're, you know, spirit-filled, whatever that situation is. But keep that trust circle small and only discuss things inside that trust circle that you know that's going to stay inside that trust circle. It's very, very important because the enemy loves to come in there and divide and conquer and separate out. And that's what builds resentment, paranoia, jealousy, and angst. And it's just not of him. So keep that trust circle small and make sure it's very limited and make sure that it's everybody's basically on an equal footing, if that makes sense.
Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here. Welcome to episode 57, and I am fired up. For those of you who are just tuning in, we typically do basic interviews talking about business, passion, purpose, the way people fell into things over the years. But we are doing special editions throughout. We're going to be releasing them at different times throughout the months on different days as some of these business busy people have time, we'll be releasing them. But we're going to be doing a show called Are You Real Business? And I'm going to be co-hosting with the famous Michael McIntyre. Michael, you on, brother?
Woo, baby, I'm on, baby. I'm with the famous John Fuller, man. Thank you.
Come on, man. So, Roar Nation, I'm super excited. These episodes will be a little bit different. The way these episodes are going to work, you guys are going to post questions about business. And we are going to hit your questions right on. They're literally off the cusp. Some of them we're just going to talk about. Whatever comes out, I think McIntyre has a good mouth on him. He just basically, he has the same. Yeah, that's right. I said it. And my that's wife, right. Every time I preach in church, my wife looks at me and goes, oh, no. I can just see the look on her face. She thinks, what is he going to say now? So who knows? You guys might get entertained quite a bit on these. So, Michael, you ready to hit this thing, brother?
Hey, baby, I got a good mouth on me, man. I'm ready, John.
Okay, let's do it. Michael, for an introduction, for those who don't know you or have not gone to previous episodes that heard you, give me an introduction somewhat of your background and the size of the business, what you started, where you went, is a brief introduction so people can get a feel for you.
Yeah, sure. I started out, I joined the Air Force way back 100 years ago and went in the Air Force to get a college education, got out, and moved to Dallas, Texas. And back in the early 80s, and I got into the insurance business, and I was really blessed to be a great salesperson. Don't want to sound arrogant, but it just, that's one of my giftings. And I got into the business and developed an agency and developed a new lead system, kind of revolutionized the industry. And we did really well. And over the years, for about 20 some years, we ended up having over $3 billion worth of annuity sales and over 20,000 insurance agents working for us.
Wow, that's huge. Okay,
yeah,
so
it was a good run. I sold the company back in 2007 and started a few other things and doing some different things now as well.
But you started that from like shoelaces, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Floor up.
It was me and American Express.
yeah.
We floated the American Express bill. Back then, you could float it a little bit longer than you can nowadays. But yes, I would wait until the 61st day to pay that American Express bill. But we got it paid. But that's what we did. And yeah, it was kibbles and bits for a while. It was indeed.
Yes, it's a hard knock. So we'll jump more into that. Roar Nation, for those of you who don't know me, I own a construction company. I've had about 10 different businesses over the last 18 years, multiple different things from distribution, water companies, vitamins, sports companies. But I've always come back to real estate and have done probably flipped maybe 50, 60 houses over the years. And I build custom homes, do remodels. So we do a lot of different things. The good thing is about this conversation is you'll get from Michael and I, we do maybe just over couple million dollars a year in construction. And Michael has done hundreds of millions of scalable business. So we've done everything from shoelaces all the way up. So if you guys have questions, man,
right.
Between the two of us, I'm sure we can come up with an answer. And if we can't, we can make crap up. I guarantee it.
Come on, brother. Amen.
So, okay. I'm going to jump into, Michael, some of the questions that we got on the Facebook page that we talked about. And I think that the first two we'll hit is, and we're going to name the people off because I wanted to say thank you for taking the time to post these. So the first one was Becky Dietz. And she asked, she said, what is the number one thing that most new business owners don't know, which they need to know? Michael, yeah. Starting off, what would you say looking back over your career?
Yeah, that's a great question, Becky, and thank you for that. I guess I would say that generally speaking, most new business owners come in, or entrepreneurs, they have great vision, they have great passion, which is good, and you need that, and you got to have perseverance. And I think most of them don't know is that it's going to take 2, maybe 3 times as much capital, and it's going to take 4 to 5 times as long before they make significant money. And I think that's one of the things that happens to most entrepreneurs is they get discouraged and they don't realize, they don't know what they don't know. So they go in there and they've got their business plan or they've got their, 90-day plan. And I like to, on a new business, the worst thing that, they could do is come in there with a lot of money. And I say that for a couple of reasons, because I think it's really important for them to be innovative and creative. But it does take 2, sometimes 3 times as much capital. And you can cash flow that depending on how big the sales cycle is in your business or whatever that situation is. And you can capitalize. You can enroll that in and keep buying more inventory or whatever product or marketing. But to know that it's going to take a little bit longer, probably 4 times as longer, to where you make a significant amount of money. I remember back in the early days when I started the insurance company, our payroll, we started out, we finally started getting some traction after, it was probably a good 8 months. And I know that might not sound long for people, but I was pouring in a lot of cash and putting it back in.
Okay, I want to ask you this though. Let's go, because people, I love being raw. So let's talk about getting started. I mean, how much of a line of credit did you have on your, so you said you and American Express, so you floated all this on credit, right?
Yeah, that's right. I had American Express bill. We averaged about $50,000 a month on American Express. So, that's what we were floating. That was back in the early 80s. And so we were selling a pretty big ticket item. Our average premium we were selling was $62,000.
Okay.
And we had a 12% commission on that. And then we paid out to the agent 3% because we bought leads and whatnot. So what we did, but I do remember, John, distinctly remembering that at one point our payroll, which we started catching some traction after about 8 months, it was up to about $60,000 a week in commissions. And by the time I wrote the last check, we had maybe, $150 left in the account. And it was frustrating because it's like everybody's making money except for Big Daddy's not making any money. So, but when it turned, it did turn. And obviously, we ended up making millions of dollars and we're blessed greatly.
Okay, so let's go to cash flow. What do you recommend for people? How to figure that out? Like, we're in 2 totally different businesses. So what I did to get started off, and when I made a jump back into construction, I had no credit, actually. I had lost a million dollar company overnight and literally almost went bankrupt, had to start over.
Was that 2008?
Yes. So that's when, market crash. I lost a lot of real estate. Right. Right. Literally almost filed bankruptcy. I lost everything. And then on top of that, we had a distribution company that was worth millions of dollars. And I lost that with a bad business partner overnight. We'll go into that someday on business partners and things like that. But that being said, what I did was I worked a job full time, but I did what I call my side hustle. And so I did what I love to do, construction on the side. So I started remodeling houses on the side while I was doing my job. I made sure I did my job 100%. I wanted to make sure my employer was getting his money worth, which he was getting way, way more than what I was getting paid. I did that, but I was able to make money on the side. And that allowed me to build some cash flow into my business. So about a year down the road, when I did make the jump, it allowed me to cash flow that way. So I built up a little bit of capital before I jumped ship.
Sure. Yeah, what I did is I was still selling, John. When I first got into the insurance, the reason I got into the insurance business, it was a natural fit for me. The commissions were good and I could sell and I had good work ethic. And so I worked. But when I started building up and hiring people and taking on company, I still worked. I still went out and sold. So, and that money that I made, I plowed it right back into the business. When I tell you I had a $50,000 line of credit, I really just had an American Express card that I slowly got up to where I was spending $50,000, because American Express at that time, it was kind of like a muscle. They let you start out at, you're spending $1,200 a month, you pay your bill on time. They'll let you extend it to maybe $5,000 a month, you pay your bill on time. So it was a step-by-step gradual climb with American Express. But I still went out and sold. So, because if I didn't sell, I wouldn't have had the money to pay for my admin staff, my rent, you know, the extra lead costs. And plus, you got to keep, you know, you've got to keep people motivated. So we had incentives and so forth. But it was all coming out of any extra money that I had. So it was difficult. But it's true. You've got to have that reserve, or you've got to have that other way to bring in more money to make it happen. And like you built up your business and set aside money to where you could expand your construction business.
That's a good point you brought up. And obviously going back to it, like having a side hustle is you, I love what you said. You still sold, because I've seen people who've built big businesses and they're like kind of at a tipping point where they're like starting to get big, but they're not quite there yet, but they're busy enough to they have like people working for them. And then they kind of quit selling and they just keep managing. And then all of a sudden they get in this cash crunch because the money's not coming in like it used to, because they're not doing, you literally got to take on two jobs for a while. You still got to be the sales guy, but you still got to manage the company.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is, it keeps you sharp, John. You know, because what I did is, I always believe that I'm not going to train somebody that I'm not going to teach somebody what to do that I haven't already done myself. And I think that when you lead by example, I think that's really, really important. And you can build a really strong, loyal sales force or employees that way, that you're not asking them to do something that you're not willing to do yourself. And I think that's really important. And yeah, I guess you could consider it a side hustle because you're still out there making sales. What I did, though, to make sure, I always took what was considered the bad leads. You know, and salespeople are funny because they always think, you know, you got the Glengarry, Glenn Ross leads, you know, you got the good leads. So I would let them pick out all the leads they wanted to take that week. And I took the ones that were, quote unquote, not the good leads, and still outsold them. So it was awesome.
You know what? Let's dive into that real quick. So do you recommend for any business paying for lead generation? Did you find, obviously, that was worth it to you to pay those extra money for those leads coming in?
Oh my, it was crucial. I mean, we spent, once we got going, we were spending probably, and this is back when postage was probably on a bulk rate, postage was like 9 cents, 11 cents. We were spending $6 million a year just on postage.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on top of that, we had a call center of 60 people running two shifts, you know, so we set, not only did we have direct mail leads, but we also set appointments. What we learned, John, was that salespeople love to sell. They love to sell. They love being the rock star. They like getting up on stage and killing it. What they don't like to do is set appointments. They don't like the prospect. It's probably one of the worst things in salespeople's deal is the prospect.
That's like a four-letter word.
Yeah, it is. It so is. What we did is we took all the obstacles out of that and we treated them as rock stars. So we would set them on a stage 3 to 4 times a day, but they needed to perform. They needed to bring the house down, and they did.
You know what? We need to get into this maybe a later episode if people want to hear it, but we need to get into the sales process. Obviously, you are a great sales guy and a trainer. And for those of want to get into training, that might be something we can get into later and talk about as far as that'd be fun too. We got many episodes coming up. Okay, so let's jump on another question, Michael.
Sure.
Sean Douglas, who is actually a coach, he is military, great guy. He's been on our show before. He came out with a book. But he asked, he said, if you had to do it all over again and you didn't know anyone, but you had the same skills and knowledge that you do now, what would you do?
What would I do differently, or what would I do?
I think maybe he's, I'm with you. I think maybe he's saying like, if you had, you knew what you knew, you have hindsight, so you get to start over. Maybe what would you do a little differently? Because you got the same knowledge, but obviously you knew what mistakes you made.
Yeah, Sean, it's a great question. And thanks for your service in the military, bro. I think what I would do is I would set up more boundaries. You know, I came from a very, very modest background in Michigan, and didn't have a lot. I came from a divorced family, and my dad didn't like to pay child support very much. And there was 5 kids, and my mother worked in a factory. And I know that it was really difficult for us. And so that's one of the reasons why I joined the military. But if I go back and I would look back on what I did, I've thought about this a few times, is I'd have more boundaries set up. What I mean by that, John, is I would not, with all my salespeople, with the managers and so forth, I would have been less social. Not that I wouldn't have talked to them or visit with them, but I wouldn't invite them into my world. I would have kept a boundary. And I think that's really important. The other thing I would have done is kept my trust circle very, very small. And only let very few people inside that trust circle. I think it's important, Sean, because I think what happened is, for me, I was so excited, and I was really young, and I made a lot of success really early. And I was excited to share the wealth, and I was excited for everybody to partake in that. And I wanted them to see stuff that they might not have seen before. And that I found that that was a mistake because it creates jealousy. It creates resentment. And even though I, you know, and that's not of him, obviously. And so I would go back and do that differently. I would.
I was just going to ask you, Michael, can you kind of give me some examples of some stuff, an example of maybe something or kind of what you did that was a mistake? So people, I know you gave like a general overview, but give me like an example, if you can.
I'll give you a couple examples. We would have sales contests, and I always like to incentivize the salespeople, and we'd have nice ones to Rome and to France and to Mexico and all kinds of really nice things. And what I would do is, you know, we had a private plane as well as a private jet, and I would allow people to fly with us on that jet. And it sounds like it's okay, but it's really not. Because what happens is, and we did spend a lot of money, but we made a lot of money. And just those little things and bringing them into that inner circle, it just creates resentment, to be honest with you. It really does. And it's not that I did bless them, and I did make sure that they made great money and they got their families taken care of. But bringing them to the inner circle was a mistake because it created a lot of problems. And the other thing was having people over to my home.
They're making like six figures. They're making really good money. You're blessing them, obviously. You're really wanting to help them out. But they were jealous because of, obviously, you're making so much more. Was that the issue?
Yeah. And I don't know if it was so much jealousy as it was maybe resentment. And it might have been too, John, because of my youth. I was young. I made a lot of money real early.
So were you arrogant?
Which wasn't the norm. No, I don't think I was arrogant. I think I was confident.
Okay.
But I would always take care of people. I did. I mean, many times. I remember I had one salesperson came into my office and wanted to, and this was a mistake I made. He wanted to get a house and he needed some money for a down payment. And he came in, it was a manager, and he'd been working with me for about, I don't know, a year or so. And he said, I said, well, how much money do you need for this down payment on this house? And this is back in the early 90s. And he said, I needed $45,000.
Wow.
And John wrote him a check on the spot, you know, and he resented me for doing that.
Why?
And I don't know why. I don't
Like, I just can't wrap my mind. I mean, I've never had anybody do that for me. I would just be so gracious. But I guess it's different. I'm not in the environment. I don't understand it. But it's just hard to comprehend that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think because then they owe you something. And in fact, I remember having the conversation with him. I said, you know, how do you want to pay this back? What's easiest for you? You know, because $45,000 is a check. And so he never did pay it back. He ended up not working for me. You know, 3 months later, he wasn't even working for me. So those things, and I think...
Mike, are you hiring?
And so I think what the problem was, though, John, is I had... It wasn't empathy, is I had sympathy, and that was the problem.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I think a lot of people... Those are great lessons to learn, because especially when you're a giver... I've met people in business that are huge. My wife's a huge giver. And and when we first got married, we literally started making not the kind of money you're talking about. We made good money coming up. We were both poor, came out of poor homes. And we were making really good money at 20, 21 years old. And some of our family, our siblings weren't, and they had issues and things were happening. And man, it's just amazing when you start making money, how people just want to suck the life out of you so fast. And because we didn't have boundaries, and we didn't understand that, like, hey, business is separate. Like, our business has to have money in it, actually, to pay the bills. That at one point, I remember telling my wife, is like, hey, if we don't cut these people off or do something, like, there's going to be not just no money to give. There's going to be no money for us to survive, like, to live. And those are tough lessons, man.
Yeah, it's so true, John. And I'm sure you guys wanted to love on your family and bless them and let them enjoy the fruits of your labor as well, and which are all great things to do. I mean, they really are. But what I've learned, what Stacy and I've learned over the years, is you can do those things, but some you need to be almost altruistic and not even let them know where it comes from. And the other thing, too, is don't loan any money. Just give it. You know,
dude, I mean,
truly
the best advice my uncle ever gave me, because that was during this time. He said, if somebody asked to borrow money, he said, if you have it, he said, I give, I don't loan anymore. And oh my gosh, that is so hard. I'm just telling you, I'm going through this. I mean, this show's about being real, dude. So I'm going to open up on this one. I just loaned somebody $3,000 a year ago. That's very close to me. And they're like, man, I'll pay you back in a couple weeks. No big deal. And I was like, all right. And I went to my wife and she said, I don't have a good feeling about it. But, you know, because it's so-and-so, if you feel like you need to do it, do it. So I did. And a couple weeks went by and I was like, no big deal. Well, a year goes by And I finally was like, you know what? Like, you could at least make a payment. You could do something. Now, mind you, my wife told me you need to give it, not loan it. And knowing the same advice, oh my gosh, I'm telling you, these last couple months has gotten to the point where I've had to work through resentment, bitterness, frustration, asking the Lord, just like, God, help me forgive, because this is such a frustrating deal. Because I really got kind of the bad end of the stick on the deal, because the person has the money and they went and spent it on other things. They just chose not to pay me. But it's not their deal. This is a heart issue on my side. This has nothing to do with them, because my wife told me beforehand and I gave it, even though they said they were going to borrow it. I truly did give it. And dude, that's a hard deal. I mean, I'm going through it right now. And I've been down it several times.
Yeah, you know, it is. And if you can't afford just to give it to them and not worry about it and not need it, then don't do it. You know, it's a difficult situation. It really is. And especially with family and friends. I mean, it just really is. It's hard. And so, you know, if you can help somebody and if they need help, the best thing to do, my advice is to do it through either a third party person that you trust. You know, just put some cash in an envelope. You know, here's $1,000. You know, go give it to Joe. Done. You know. And so anyways, it's a good lesson in this. I've been there. You've been there. We've all needed help before. And we've had money show up, and I'm sure you have money show up, sometimes knowing where it's from and sometimes it's not. And, you know, it's good to help people. It's not good to enable people.
Man, amen to that. That's so good. So, yeah, for our listeners, whether you make a lot of money now and you're in that situation where you can give, I highly recommend read the book on boundaries. That's a great book. You need boundaries. And for those of you that are just starting off your businesses and like right now you're like, oh, I can't even imagine loaning money right now. I'm not even at that point. Well, eventually you're going to be. So when you get there, I'm telling you, be prepared and have advice, because it's going to save literally a lot of gray hair and time stressing out and worrying about it. So learn now. Okay.
That's good. One thing I want to add to that, John, I think, and that was really good. Yeah, someday you will be there, and keep that trust circle. And, you know, we've all seen the show The Fockers. You know, you're inside the trust circle, you're not inside the trust circle.
Dude,
right?
Well, I hate that show. That show is so funny. Oh my gosh.
Keep your trust circle small. And I talk about this a lot too, about a mastermind group. And it's really biblical to have your mastermind group and have people like-minded, if they're Christian, if they believe, if they're, you know, spirit-filled, whatever that situation is. But keep that trust circle small and only discuss things inside that trust circle that you know that's going to stay inside that trust circle. It's very, very important, because the enemy loves to come in there and divide and conquer and separate out. And that's what builds resentment, paranoia, jealousy, and angst. And it's just not of him. So keep that trust circle small and make sure it's very limited, and make sure that it's everybody's basically on an equal footing, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Michael, quick plug. We're going to do an infomercial on the spot. Okay. So before we jump into the next question, you talked about doing mastermind groups. Why don't you give me a quick plug, just like 20 seconds, whatever. You do mastermind groups. You got some coaching coming up in Dallas. I had some friends that just got back from it. They said it was everything that they hoped for and more. And that's a quote. They said it was phenomenal. And I'm telling you, that's a big compliment, because I've been to with some of these guys. I've been to other events that were phenomenal, very good as well. So for them to say that was a big deal. Tell us real quick about the date of your next event that you're doing in Dallas and a little bit about the mastermind group.
Yeah, thanks, John. We call it the Next Level Training, and it's July 13th, and it begins on Thursday, July 13th at 3 p.m. here in Dallas at the Doubletree Hilton Hotel at Love Field. And it runs all day Thursday, July 13th, 3 p.m. till like 9 p.m. and then all day Friday. And it concludes Saturday night. What it is, it's for people whose lives are basically working. You might have a job, you might have a relationship, and you've got a great relationship with Jesus, but you want to go to the next level. You want to increase your business. You want to start the new business. You want to better your relationship with your wife. You want to find a wife. You want to find a husband. You want to have a godly person in your life. You want to create a business instead of making, you know, $60,000 a year, you want to make $600,000 a year, or you just want to have a more intimate relationship with Jesus. Whatever the situation is, what we like to do is take people whose lives are working and take them to the next level. It's basically, John, it's taking off your old glasses that you're looking through the lens of in today's world and putting on a new set of glasses, kind of having a new paradigm. And it's intense. It's intense. It's fun. but it's great. And people leave out of there. We've got some great, we've got some fantastic people that come out of there on a whole new level. And yeah, it's 3 days. You can go to michaelpmcintyre.com. That's Michael P. My middle initials P as in Paul, and McIntyre, McIntyre.com. And you can register. It's $395. People say, man, that's only for 3 days. They've paid thousands of dollars for seminars. And I said, well, that's good to know. Maybe we should raise it. But no, I said, and then other people say, man, $395 is a lot of money. And I said, listen, the money's not your problem. It's a solution to your problem. It's the money. It's going to the next level. So yeah, it's great. It's really intense. We've only got like, I think we've got six more seats left on this one. So if they want to go, get on there and
we'll put a link on the show for people. And I do want to highly recommend it. If you're really wanting to, it's all about mindset, and we'll get into that for future episodes, man, but it's all about mindset. Okay. So I want to jump on next question. So Brad Pascal asks, he says, and he's a social media expert, does a great job with social media stuff. I love Brad. He does some stuff for my buddy Jody Holland. So he asks, how do you use social media and technology to scale empathy and soul in business?
Yeah, great question, Brad. You know, since I started McIntyre, or these guys started branding McIntyre, it's kind of funny. Some young folks from our community take the next level training, and they came out of there flying high. And so they wanted to get with me, and they're social media experts and filmmakers. And so they came and had this big, long presentation they wanted to give me. And they said, listen, we want to brand you out. And I said, okay. I mean, I don't know anything about it, but, and they said, I said, what do you want me to do? They said, I just want you to be you. And so you probably, some folks have seen it. If not, you can follow me on Instagram or my Facebook. But what I think the way to have that empathy, and empathy is really a good thing, but empathy is great, and you need empathy. You also need compassion. And to give you an example on empathy and compassion, just imagine this. You're walking down, you know, you're hiking in the Rocky Mountains. I just came back from Colorado. So you're walking in the Rocky Mountains on a great hike, beautiful day, and you come across somebody laying on their back, and they have a boulder on their chest. You can look at that individual and think, man, I've got some empathy for that. That must really hurt. That must really hurt. But what you do is you take that empathy and you produce action, which means that you walk over there and you lift that boulder off their chest. And that's called compassion. And so empathy is good. And it's really good to be, you want to relate to people and you want to sit in their seats. That's what God blesses with the miracle of a mind's eye. And actually, even though you can't literally sit in their seat or sit in their shoes, but you can try to come from their perspective. But when you have compassion, that you take that empathy and you drive it over to doing an action, which creates compassion. And so with social media, what I try to do, and I think you do it well, is good, John, is I get real. I just tell my heart, you know. I remember one time I was talking about my father-in-law who had died. It was his birthday, his death date. And I didn't realize that. I was just acknowledging him and honoring him. But it really became very emotional for me. And I was doing a live broadcast, you know. And so I think just like Are You Real Nation, just being real and not putting a gloss on it or a spin, but just being authentic and transparent. I think that's really important in that. And, you know, I like to throw in comedy. I like to have fun. I like to laugh. You know, I like to get on to people. You know, we did this drive, dialing and driving here the other day, did some random coaching calls. And, you know, I got to talk to these people about what's going on today in your life. You know, what are you getting done? What are you not getting done? And kind of pushing them to the next level, to all the people who've done the next level training. And it lets them know that you're thinking of them and you do have empathy and you do want to see where they're at, because I think that's important. So you just have to stretch. You have to be creative. Put yourself out there and don't be afraid to fail. You know, listen, I can't tell you how many, my wife won't even watch my live streams, John, because I think our wives are just alike, because she just thinks I'm going to say something that's totally out of left field and just, she's going to die 1,000 deaths. Yep. She won't even watch him.
That's funny.
So I know you can relate.
I can totally relate. There's times even when I say stuff, she just looks at me and she's just like, I just cannot believe you said that. And I'm like, I can't actually believe I said it either, but it sounded good at the time.
That's right.
So, yeah, I want to add on to that as far as the thing that I found, it's easy to be me. And if people just be you, and some people are going to like it, some people are going to hate it, and some people just don't give a crap. And those are the people I don't resonate with anyway, so it doesn't matter. And whatever your business is, be you, because people want authentic, they want real. And when you are you, the people you want to do business with will be drawn to you. And
it's such a good point, John. Yeah, our pastor just did a whole thing on that, and it's so good. And he said, you are the best you.
Yes.
And God made you exactly the way he wanted to make you. And you do not try, you know, it gets down to that comparison thing. And the enemy loves to have us compare ourselves with everything. And that's the divide and conquer that the enemy's plan has. So you're so right. Be the best you.
You know, I was thinking about that. We just got back from Universal Studios and with the kids. And I had this thought, and I remember telling one of my kids, I said, I feel bad. I have sorrow for people that try to imitate other people, like whether it's like Britney Spears or Justin Bieber, like they have lookalikes, right? And I was like, what a sad thing to do in life, because they have individual gifts, talents, abilities. God made them specific. Their DNA, everything about them is so unique. And people will spend their entire lives trying to be like somebody else because they like them. And I thought, that is so sad because they have so much. Like, the world needs something that they have. Like, God put it in them to give to the world.
That's right.
People need it.
That's right.
But they're trying so hard to be somebody else, and they never find joy or contentment because they can never act out who they're supposed to be.
That's so good, John. And yeah, I'm sure you saw a big dose of it down there at Universal Studios. You know, it's kind of like the mammon. It always makes you wanting more, and you're never happy with what you have. You know, before I came to Christ, that was a big thing, was always chasing it. And those material things, they were great. You know, you buy a new plane, you buy a new car, you get a new desk, or you go on a super duper vacation. And yes, for the moment, it's great. And yes, you get that, feels good. But at the end, you know, 90 days later, once it breaks, or once you forget about that, or the bill comes in, you're miserable again. And it's mammon, always wanting to move the goalposts. And I think that's what, you know, like Jesus said, once you drink from my well, you'll never be thirsty again. And I think once you know yourself, be true to thyself, and you get your contract, and you know who you are, because God already knows who you are. He just wants you to realize.
To figure it out. Yes, man.
That's right. And that's what I love about you, John. You figured that out. And that's why you're so successful at what you do. And not only in your building and RU Nation and these podcasts, and because you bring in people and you ask the real questions, and you're just being who you are. And that's what I love about what you do, John. It's amazing.
Well, I appreciate that, Michael, man. It's been great to obviously get to meet people like you and other people. You guys are such a blessing in my life. I want to wrap up a couple more questions just to get in, because obviously for our listeners who took the time to post these. This one is Isaiah Boyer. I know him as well. He's a great kid. He's an up-and-coming business superstar. He's in his early 20s. But he asked, he said, what was the hardest obstacle you have faced so far?
Oh, wow.
And we'll say in business, because obviously this is a business episode. Yeah. So what's the hardest obstacle in business that you've had to face so far?
Isaiah, I think that's a great question. And I, you know, I think if I go back, and there's two things that I probably wouldn't do. Number one, and I think I addressed this earlier, is to establish boundaries. The other thing I would do, because I made so many mistakes in this, is file lawsuits.
You would or wouldn't?
I would not.
Okay.
N-O-T, capital N-O-T, exclamation.
Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation.
That's right. Three exclamations. Because it's a colossal waste of money, time, and energy, and it takes your eye off the ball. I think the biggest obstacle I had is I had a class action lawsuit, which never should have been filed. It never should have happened. And I ended up spending like $2 million on this thing. And it was really, really difficult. It drained, and it took a lot of things. We ended up settling the deal for $500,000, which was a lot of money. And it's still, but there was no there.
But you spent $2 million to settle on a half.
Yes, that's right. And it was like, and the problems that I experienced, as number one, were immaturity and inexperience, and sometimes paranoia, because I wasn't walking with Jesus at that time. I really wasn't. I didn't get saved until 2007. But I would go back, and the hardest obstacle I probably had to overcome were lawsuits. And they were brought, I think they were probably self-inflicted wounds, to be honest with you, Isaiah. And I think if I could go back to there, I would say, don't file lawsuits. If somebody wants to leave your company, if somebody wants to compete with you, if somebody wants to steal your idea, bless them and move on. You know, you can't sue your way into success. You just can't. And I've made a lot of money. I had, like, you know, six lawyers on the payroll, and you know, it was not a good thing. So I think that was my biggest obstacle, was lawsuits.
That's funny you say that. I just a while back went through a lawsuit that really had not too much to do with me, but I got stuck in the middle of a lawsuit between two people that I had to. But just to be able to represent myself and filing paperwork because my name was on stuff, what happened was I ended up spending $20,000 on a lawsuit that really, I mean, just to finish some stuff, it really, again, had nothing to do with us, but we were stuck in the middle of it. And what was so frustrating was, is just the time, the energy that it sucks life out of you. It's frustrating. And at the end of it, I'm like, $20,000. Like, that could have bought my kid a set of braces. I mean, an expensive pair of braces, but, or multiple pairs. I mean, my gosh. And those are things that you think of.
Pay for some college tuition.
Yes. So true. Such a waste of money. So that's a good point.
The only winners in lawsuits are the lawyers, period.
Dude,
and that's it.
At $300 an hour, that ain't no joke.
Yeah. So look, if you're in business, if you are in business, what I always say is a dog does not chase parked cars. Okay. You're going to get bit. Somebody might sue you. Somebody might, or at least hire a lawyer and send you a cease and desist or a threatening letter. Don't panic. All right, don't panic. First thing you do is get on your knees and ask the Lord for
direction.
For
wisdom, wisdom. Yes.
Yes. Ask for wisdom and then seek counsel with your mastermind group. And, you know, it doesn't mean you don't hire a lawyer. Yes, you need to have an attorney. You need to have representation. You need to have good counsel. Hire you a Christian-based counselor and say, hey, what's the situation? 9 times out of 10, you can have your attorney talk to their attorney and negotiate a settlement of some sort without ever having to go to the courthouse. Because once you file those documents in a petition, it takes the whole thing higher, and you don't want to escalate that. Just nip it in the bud. Sometimes, you know, unjustly, you might have to pay something because it's, even though it's not your fault, but I promise you, it's better to do that than go in there and have a pride issue. I was all about pride. Okay. I was going to, you know, man, you know, how dare you do this to me? I'm going to sue you and take you to court and make you pay. And that was all prideful. It was all flesh and it was not of him. And that was a big mistake. And that was a big obstacle that I had.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yesterday, when I was reading during my quiet time with the Lord, there's this passage that talks about, that says, before you bring your gift, and I'm hacking this, so for those of you that are scholars, I apologize. I don't need any hate emails. But the scripture that I was reading was talking about, you know, before you bring your gift to the altar, if you have an issue with your brother, go first to your brother and basically ask for forgiveness. And then, but then it goes on to say, you know, basically before you go before the judge, even more so, settle your dispute before you get to the judge, because it could be even worse. And I'm telling you, it'll save you thousands of dollars. I mean, it's just
Amen.
Not worth it. So,
yeah, that's good advice, John. You know, yeah. And, you know, and unfortunately, we're in a litigious society. But if you, you know, you cross your T's, you dot your I's, you measure twice, you cut once, you'll be okay.
Yes. And honestly, for those of you who have the Lord, I'm just telling you, there's been many times I've been in some situations that I thought this could really, like, I could lose a business, like this could go so south. And there's been times I've got on my knees literally in tears and praying and said, God, please, this is unrighteous. This is not right. Please deliver me from this. And I'm telling you, I'm I'm 10 for 10, my friend. I'm telling you, God has delivered me every time, dude, and come through. It's not always how I think it should be or what I expected, but I'm telling you, he is Jehovah Jireh, man. He is a deliverer. God is for us, not against us. And sometimes we just, instead of standing up and shouting and pointing a finger, we need to be on our knees praying and asking the Lord to lead.
So good advice. John 10:10, the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and give us life more abundantly. And that's such good wisdom. And it's all about Jesus, baby. It's all about Jesus. In the morning when you wake up, in the middle of the day when you go to work or whatever and have lunch and dinner and business, family, it's all about Jesus. Good advice, man. Get on your knees and ask for guidance, ask for counsel, and ask for, you know, bring the Holy Spirit in too, man. Because that Holy Spirit, man, you talk about rock the nation, man. The Holy Spirit will rock your world.
I'm telling you.
It's good stuff.
So we're going to hit on the last question was from Stephen Miles. He says, and this is kind of a recap on some of the things, but maybe you'll have a different answer. He said, what was the thing you did early in your business you wish you could still do, but you don't because it isn't scalable?
Yeah, I'd probably go out and sell, you know, because I really enjoyed, you know, when we were selling, you know, it was basically across the kitchen table, the mom and pop, and out in the country sometimes, and it was great. I enjoyed going to the farmhouses. I enjoyed going to the small places and the trailers and the big houses and the small houses in the countryside and the small towns. And, you know, I sold up in Montana. I sold in Minnesota. I sold in Massachusetts, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Florida, Arizona. I sold in all the states, I think, except for a couple. And I really, really, really did enjoy out there in the field and being selling. But to have a business and you want to multiply yourself, you can't be out there doing that constantly because there's just one of you. And so the nice thing today, what's so even back then is, you know, once I had like, I don't know, probably 40 salespeople before I finally got off the road into where I could do that. But when I first started out, I really enjoyed being out there selling and I enjoyed training people. I put people in the car and go take them out and they get to watch. And that was a lot of fun. And to scale your business up, you can't be out there selling all day because you got so many other things going. So that's one thing I'd probably miss.
That's kind of where the stage I'm at right now that I'm doing so many bids. I've gone from being all the time in the field, hands-on, to now I pretty much am just doing bids to supervising. And now we're at the next stage in our business where I'm going to have to start stepping out of those roles and start overseeing salespeople and somewhat in the field just because your business starts to scale sometimes so fast, you just cannot do it all.
That's right. Yeah, and I think, Stephen, I think your question's so good because today with technology, it's so easy to scale your business relatively inexpensively as well. So we're so blessed to be in this time if you're an entrepreneur starting out or switching deals or leaving your job and starting a business because with technology, you can scale so much easier. And I think, you know, it's just like my thing right now I've got going, John, you know, with your business, at some point you're not going to be able to go out there and give bids and do that. You're going to hire people to do that for you so you can really expand your business. But like with McIntyre, with this next level training that we're doing, I'm having a blast doing it because I'm doing it one-on-one with everybody and I'm doing the whole class. And we have, you know, anywhere from 30 to 40 people in the class, but I get to work with each one of them for that 3 days. At some point, I'm not going to be able to. I'll have other trainers to do that. But right now, it's like, it's fun again, Stephen. I enjoy getting into the minutia, getting into the woods and hanging out there and camping out underneath the canopy. So good.
Michael, I want to ask you this. Okay, so this is a John question. Going back to the size that you grew your business, all right? So you grew it into a multi-million-dollar business, okay? Now, knowing that and the pressures that it takes, how you have to scale it, you're not going to get to do the one-on-ones that you're enjoying to do now. You're basically essentially starting a whole nother business, your coaching. My question is,
that's right.
Is it worth growing it to the size of, if you knew, like somebody asked you and they could, you know, wave their magic wand and say, you can grow this business to the same size as big as you were doing your insurance. So you got a lot of people, you got management, all these things. Would you do that? Or would you keep it to the size to, hey, listen, I make good money, I'm happy with this, but I still get to be one-on-one with people. And is there that contentment or is it hard? Because I personally know you're always driven to make things bigger, right? Because that's hard as business owners. So do you keep it? Yeah. Do you keep scaling or do you keep it to a size where you still enjoy and love doing what you're doing, but it's not this just massive company?
Such a great question, John. And I think before, when we were doing our pre-call warm-up, we were talking about, you know, what your gifting is. And I'm a builder. I am. I'm just a builder and I love to build. And so to answer your question is, you know, I'm going to go big on this deal or I'm going to go home. And so, you know, we're having so much fun right now. And it's hard sometimes because we're like, you know, we're bringing this in and we're different marketing. And I got these marketing geniuses, these film guys doing stuff and they want to film me. They come to the house sometimes at 7 o'clock in the morning and film me the whole day. And it's kind of bizarre. But what I see is, my giftings in this, John, like you have your giftings as well. And it's not work. It's fun. But I also see that this needs to go wide and I'm going to take it wide. We're going to find trainers all around the country. I look at, you know, I want to have like 25 different ADIs, areas of dominant influence around the United States. And then we want to take the thing out to Europe eventually. So it's really kind of fun. It's exciting. I love it. It's probably going to be easier than the insurance business because two reasons. Well, number one, there's no regulation. Thank you, Jesus. Number two is we've got technology in our favor and things can move so much fast. It's like Jesus said, you're going to be able to do the things I can do in greater. And, you know, just imagine if Jesus had Google back then, right?
Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that have been cool? So I'm really not comparing myself to Jesus by any stretch, but I do want to take this thing wide because what we see after 3 days, 2.5 days of the next level training, the miracles that we see, what the Holy Spirit does in people and where people get to refocus and put on a new set of glasses It's phenomenal. And it's the juice, John, that really drives me to the next thing. And so I'm excited about it. Yes, I want to take it wide. And yes, I want to take it really big. And that's just what I want to do. And I want to bring in other trainers. And I want to teach them what I'm doing so they can take this thing out. And I want people to make money doing it as well. I mean, there's nothing wrong with making money. Thank you, Jesus. Because we can glorify God with our money. I was in Denver giving a sermon about the offering, you know. Money is where our heart is a lot of times, and God doesn't need your money. He's got all the money, all his money anyway. He doesn't need your money. He just wants to see where your heart is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you give tithing or when you do offerings or when you do sacrificial giving, and sometimes, like right now, I'm sacrificially giving on this thing. But I like it because it's to glorify him because he's given me these gifts to do. And so then we're going to take it wide. Then we get to bless a whole lot of people and continue to glorify God. So, yeah, we're going to take this big. We're going to take it really big. So if you want to get in early and come and see me do these things, come on and join us on this next level training. It's tons of fun.
That's exciting. You know, you talk about sacrificially giving. I was just thinking about this. We're going to end on this. I just want to tell people, for those of you who have a gift, you know, I have yet to make a penny on my podcast. I do it week in and week out. I pay for everybody that comes on here. We pay for the show, production, all that stuff. But
yes,
that
you do.
Being
yes,
said,
you do.
Because I've done that, I've literally seen my business, because I've honored God's kingdom. Like, my goal is
yes.
to bless people and to promote people like you and other people what they're doing. Because of that, literally, my business has almost doubled in the last year. And I can't even tell you, like, I still laugh and I say, God, you're so good. Thank you, Jesus. Like, I'll be laughing, driving down the road, and I'll get a phone call and somebody says, don't even know them. They're like, hey, I found you on such and such website, or I saw this post. Can you come do a remodel, or can you come build a house? And we're talking $60,000, $70,000, $150,000 jobs.
Yeah.
And I'm just laughing and just saying, God, you are hilarious. And it's all because I'm using my gifts and talents to bless. What did Jesus come to do? He came to serve. And
that's
he
right.
used
that's
his
right.
gift. What God gave him was to lay down his life. He served humanity. And I've used, just like all of us have gifts and talents, I've laid those down to serve people. And because of that, he's blessed my business. And that's not for everybody. I want to make that very clear. Some people are called to ministry, and that is their business, ministry/whatever. And that's what
right.
they do. But this is what God's called me to do specifically. And because I've poured out in this area, he's blessed another area. So
it's so true, John. I remember we started talking about a year ago, and you started the podcast and you had a couple hundred people. Now you've got almost 70,000 people a month, and God's blessing you in that because you're blessing other people. And I mean, you've had some of the amazing people that come on your show and in your business. I remember you called 3 or 4 months ago and said, man, Home Depot or Lowe's or somebody just dumped a bunch of business on you. And it's like, yes, it's all happening. So it's so cool what's going on, man. And I love your heart for authenticity. And I love your heart to give out and to bless other people through these podcasts, because it's amazing. And you do it in such excellence as well. So congratulations, bro.
Well, thank you so much. Michael, as we wrap up, why don't you give us one more time? I know I threw in a plug for you at the beginning, but why don't we end on another plug as far as where people can find you? I want people to check out your training, because I know how important it is as a business owner, as a leader. There's so much value in it. So again, please tell my listeners where we can find you and your upcoming events again.
Yeah, thanks, John. You can follow me on Facebook at Michael McIntyre. It's real simple. McIntyre. And I'm the CEO of 247 MedPlan. You can find me there. You can also go to Instagram. And these guys are doing tons of Instagram stuff, which is kind of fun. And it's The Michael McIntyre. Real simple, The Michael McIntyre. And then if you want, you can also go to our website, which is Michael P. McIntyre. P as in Paul, McIntyre.com. And you can check out our next level. The next level training is coming up July 13th, 14th, and 15th in Dallas. Come on in. It's fun. It's going to be intense. It's going to rock your world. We let the Holy Spirit in, and it's a lot of fun, baby. It really is. It's a whole new set of glasses. But yeah, check us out July 13th, MichaelPMcIntyre.com.
Awesome. Michael, hold on just a second. Roar Nation, thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Business Edition, the Are You Real Business episodes. Guys, I cannot emphasize enough how important it is about mindset. Oh, wow. The reason these are so important to jump into is because it is all about mindset. And if you can get your mind right, you can get your relationships, your business, your view on God, all those things corrected. And sometimes, you know, think about it as a ship. And if you're just a couple degrees off, over the course of a long haul, over a long stretch of life, you're going to end up where you didn't want to be. And it is so important to get your compass straight and be headed in the right direction in every area of your life. So I highly encourage you to check these out. Go check out what Michael's doing. You're welcome to email us, Facebook us, whatever you want. Happy to answer your questions. And if you have questions on business, I don't care what it is, please email me. You can go on areyoureal.org, contact us, send me an email, or go on our Facebook, Are You Real. Send me questions. I'll be happy to answer those. We're going to try to do this twice a month just on the aspect of business. So guys, be real, be authentic, and be you, and be blessed. Thank you.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.